Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning. At 69 years old, finally crossed over that bridge of 68, heading to 69. Am I going to make 89, 99? I don't know. Just thank God this morning for the breath that's in my lungs. I got my war uniform on today. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. Appreciate all of you that tuned in yesterday. Again, as I always say, I don't know what I'd do without this show. Me, I'm talking about how it sharpens me. And you know what? Boy, this is going to make you mad. Is that OJ sitting in the back there, Mike? Are you kidding me? Hey, OJ. Can I tell you something? When I hit Sunday morning, I don't want to go to church. I need a day of rest. Somebody say amen. I go all amen. Week long. I hit Sunday. I want to rest.
Amen.
Amen.
Am I allowed to say that? I'm so glad that I don't get up on Sunday morning and go to church out of duty. Can somebody say amen? Spent your whole life going to church just because of a Sunday morning. I'm so
amen.
Glad.
Amen.
I could say amen to that one. Amen.
Now we have church 5 days a week.
Amen. Amen. So listen, here's what I'm about today. I mean, it's been, I slept great last night. I didn't get up to about 5:30. That's like sleeping in this morning. But boy, it's been all over me from the folks. I wish you could live in my body. I just wish that you could live in my meat suit for 24 hours so that you would understand that what I bring to you every morning isn't from me. I mean, I just wish I could explain that to you. That you know, where the inspiration comes from. I call it the Holy Spirit. Other people don't know. I mean, they don't know what it is. It's a gift. I pray that the Lord never takes that gift away from me. But I'm just telling you, man, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. And I don't take this responsibility lightly in any way, shape, or form. I get nervous when I come across as being puffed up or somebody, I don't take compliments well. I don't like to talk about, I don't like self-promotion. I don't like any of that. But I understand, like McDonald's, you have to advertise to get people to come in. But it's still uncomfortable for me. You get what I'm saying? I can't go out there. It's hard for me to go out there and hand out Coach Dave Live cards. It's just hard for me to do that. It just is. I'd rather hire Glenn Beck to talk about it than me talk about it. Me hand out cards. Listen to me. And it's so much bigger than that. It's not even about that. But boy, the Holy Spirit hit me hard. I carry this in my Bible. I want to talk about courage today. We're not going to win without courage. Hey, Fritz, did you guys hear me? If you think we're going to win this war without courage, I'm going to tell you this also. If you think you're boned up on courage, if you think you got enough of it, I'm going to tell you something you don't. Courage is like, it has to be watered. Courage has to be watered. It has to be exercised. Courage does. And as a wise guy, I never forgot this. When I was going through my battle with the American Civil Liberties Union back in 1997, I came across this quote. I still can't remember Wilbert, and I don't know who said it. But it's this. It says, the rarest and most noble form of courage is moral courage. This makes even the most brutish of men understand that somehow this man is more than a man. The rarest and most noble form of courage is moral courage. This makes even the most brutish of men understand that this man is somehow much more than a man. And the late Adrian Rogers, I carry it in my Bible, says, it's better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It's better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts but ultimately kills. It's not love. It's not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. It's better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Now, I was pondering this morning a couple things. Bear with me here a second. I'm going to show you some examples here. Can I just do away with the trivia? I don't want to go to announcements and all that stuff. I just don't want to do that. I'll get to that later. And I came to the revelation deeply last night. As I said, maybe it was in the pre-show, we're not going to win without courage, folks. You are not going to make it without courage. America will not be transformed without courage. And all political correctness is the draining of courage right out of your body. That's all it is. That's all it is. How many times in your life have you and your wife or whoever, you've been in a situation where something's gone on, whether it be in a public gathering, whether it be in a meeting, whether it be whatever, and then you get home, or you're in the car with your wife, and you're riding home, and you're about to squeeze the steering wheel in half. And your wife says, "What's the matter?" And you said, "Damn it, I should have said something." How many of you have been there? Why don't we? Why don't we? Why do we not have greater fealty, loyalty to the truth? Why are we so willing to compromise the truth in order to make others feel good or not coach, don't stir that up, huh? Or my wife has never said this to me, ever said it to me. But I know family gathering coming up, we're doing it tomorrow. My wife has never said to me, "Honey, watch what you say at the family. Watch what you say." She's never said that to me. But I know this, those coming to the party probably are wondering, what's Uncle Dave going to say? And I'd rather not go than keep my mouth shut. Somebody say amen. If I got to keep my mouth shut just to be loved by my family, I ain't going.
Amen.
Takes moral courage. Takes moral courage. And I'm my fealty, my loyalties to the Lord. My fealty, my loyalties to the truth. It's not to my family. I love my family. But I put the truth above my family. And that's why a lot of people find themselves in family problems. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, some of you are in conflict in your family because you won't speak the truth. You go to your family gatherings and you sit at your family gathering and you're about to burst because you can't say what needs to be said. Because you're afraid you're going to offend these people who are going to talk about you later anyway. Call you preacher coach and preacher Uncle Dave and preacher this and preacher that. Come on. I'm rolling right down the Broadway right now today. I'm telling you the truth. And the divide in America is becoming more and more broad and more clear than it's ever been. And the only thing that is going to save us is you are going to have to, my friends, open your mouth and speak. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to learn to do it. You have to learn to love truth more than family. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about being rude and mean and hitting them over the head with a Bible. Yeah, speak truth. It's only the truth that will set them free. So you can lie to them. You can keep your mouth shut and allow them to remain in bondage if you want to. You can do that. But you go at some point, you're going to have to stand up. You have to say to him, hey, listen, son, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to get a freaking job. You got to get a job. Quit living off of me. You got to get a job. Hey, dude, do me a favor. Marry her or stop sleeping with her. Will we say that stuff? No, we won't say that. And so therefore, they think we have their approval. They think they have our approval. Why? Because the rarest and most noble form of courage is moral courage. It makes even the most brutish of men understand this guy somehow much more than a man. I've never been around anybody like him. He just says what's on his mind. He speaks it and he lets the chip fall where they may. But see, we've been taught to go along to get along. Somebody say amen and put a thumbs up. That is what the Christian church has taught us. Christianity has taught us to go along to get along. The American Christianity has taught us to be silent about the things that the Lord hates, to be silent about it. That's what it's taught. Coach, don't make waves. Honey, please don't say that. You're just going to cause conflict. We need some freaking conflict. We need some. I was thinking about this. Three things I wrote down on my notes this morning. I'm looking at them over here. Of four things. Number one thing. This is what gets me in trouble. My wife will tell you this. I'm sorry if I'm talking about me. I don't know you. I do, but I can't talk about your qualities. I hate trivial arguments. I hate them. Can I tell you something? The church is full of trivial arguments. It's full of them. That's why I don't even want to go there. Right? Huh? They strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel. I don't even want to go there. I am so far beyond the beginning steps of my faith walk. I'm so far beyond it. I cannot go listen to the trivial crap. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I can go teach it, maybe. I can't go listen to it. And I think that I got some stuff to show you here today. You know why sissies are running America? You know why women and men who act like women are running America? Because men and women who act like and men who act like women and women who act like men, do you know why they run things? Because I'm going to tell you why. Real men hate trivial crap. They hate it. They want to punch a guy in the mouth, get it settled, move on. They don't want to sit there and talk to their friend across the aisle. My honorable friend across the aisle. I couldn't do it. I could never go to Congress. I'd say, where are the tables? We need some tables flipped over in here. You're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? Because you're flipping over tables because you're exposing evil, exposing truth, exposing liars, right? Folks, this just isn't in Congress. Number one, real men hate trivial arguments. Wait a minute. If you're a real man and you hate trivial arguments, either say amen or give me a thumbs up. Men I'm talking to.
Amen.
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 I want to talk about important stuff. When you and I get together, I don't want to talk about the Bengals and the Browns, okay? I don't want to talk about that. I don't. I want to talk about what the hell's going on in America and what is it we're going to do about it. That's what I want to talk about. I want to get to the nitty gritty of it. Number two, only a return. I don't know what's going to happen here in America with the election. We get bogged down and all that. Either way, no matter how this thing goes, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Only a return of strident masculinity can save this nation. It's the only thing that can do it. That men will rise up and be men. That men will rise up and speak like men. Not scratching your bag and cussing and spitting. No. Have that rare courage, that moral courage to stand up and say, that's wrong. And it's not going to go on my watch. That's wrong. What's so hard about saying that to somebody? That's wrong. Hey, shacking up your girlfriend, that's wrong. Now, you make the decision whether you're going to compromise and let it come into your own home. That's something different. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are allowing somebody in your family to shack up and come into your house and they don't know, you think it's wrong, there's something wrong with you. Now, you can invite them in. You can invite them in. But they ought to be uncomfortable the whole time they're there. That's what I think. And men aren't taught to do that anymore. Whatever happened to that old line? Not in my house. Not in my house. We've lost moral courage. We've become womanly. I'm going to show you some clips here in a minute. Just let me get this rant. Let me get this rant over because it's not really a rant. Yeah, Mike, I want you to do this for me right now, Mike. Go to the 4 minute and 20. It says 4 minute 27, Mark. Mike, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a YouTube video. And I want you guys to, I was watching this morning. I don't know who sent it to me, where I got it. This was a Zoom meeting of, oh my goodness. Can I tell you why we're in trouble in America? This is, Mike, go to the 4 minute 27, Mark. And you tell me this is not a picture. Hang on, stop it. Okay, now listen. As you listen to this guy, it's 2 minutes. I want you to ask you, does this guy ooze masculinity? Does this guy ooze masculinity? And does he come across Dr. Robert Levin, health director of Ventura County Public Health? Does he come across to you as a man or as a woman? Does he come across as a man's man, or does he come across as a man looking to appease women? It's 2 minutes. Go ahead, Mike.
To bring on people, we're going to start with 10 people. We may bring on up to 50 or even more as the program grows and as we see the needs for it. As we do more testing, we will find more and more people who have COVID-19. And again, we'll isolate every one of them and we will find every one of their contacts. And we will make sure that they stay quarantined and we'll check in with them every day. In other words, what this program means is that we're going to do a more complete job and we're going to do a more meticulous job of making it less and less possible for others in the county to run into someone with COVID-19 infection. It's not just our county that's bringing more people on. There are going to be thousands of people hired who will be these contact investigators throughout the state. And this is occurring in many, many other states as well, perhaps all of the states in our country. We will be giving intensive training to these people, training not only for identifying and finding contacts, but also in terms of how to be sensitive about doing it. We also realize that as we find more contacts, some of the people we find are going to have trouble being isolated. For instance, if they live in a home where there's only one bathroom and there are three or four other people living there and those people don't have COVID infection, we're not going to be able to keep the person in that home. Every person who we're isolating, for instance, needs to have their own bathroom. And so we'll be moving people like this into other kinds of housing that we have available. They'll also have other needs, perhaps, food, whatever it's going to be. The county will be there to back them up and to support them.
Amen. Stop. You can stop right there. Is this a man or a woman?
Holy shit.
Is this something?
The hell is that?
Is that something a man would say or a woman would say? See, these folks, these are the people. Hey, Mike, pull up Al Pacino. Pull up Al Pacino. I haven't let anybody say anything. I still got something I got to get off my chest. I want you to think about this and then get that Al Pacino thing ready, Mike. I want you. That's from the movie Any Given Sunday. I want you to ask. I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to write down right now, if you can. Some of you have to run and get a piece of paper. You don't have to. I want you to write down two things on this piece of paper this morning. Number one, what's the bravest thing you personally have ever witnessed? Bravest thing that you personally have ever witnessed. And two, who's the bravest person you know? Not what, not somebody you're watching on TV, not some movie actor. Who's the bravest person you know? What are the two things? What's the bravest thing you've ever witnessed? And who is the bravest person you know? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're scratching your head thinking, wow. So this is Al Pacino. I don't like Al Pacino. He's a phone. Remember this. I said this to my wife. He's an actor. He is speaking the words somebody else wrote. And see, we get a tendency to admire guys like Al Pacino because he does a good job of saying what somebody else wrote. Al Pacino probably doesn't believe what he's about to say. He's acting. He's acting. But I thought this is pretty, it's 4 minutes and 30 seconds, but I don't think it's, there may be a bad word in there. If there is, I apologize. Go ahead and play it, Mike.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes till the biggest battle of our professional lives. All comes down to today. Either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think, I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I pissed away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in a mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's gonna win that itch. And I know if I'm gonna have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're going to see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're going to do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen.
Hell yeah.
And either we heal now, as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you going to do?
See, there's something you can cut that off, Mike. See, there's something about courage that touches your heart. There's something deep inside of you that wishes you had the courage to do it. Well, you do. We do. Say it again. We do. Now, listen, I want to let some of you in because I know you're bursting, but stay with me. I got to wrap this up here. I was coming down the steps. And the Holy Spirit, some voice, said to me, of all the things that people have taught you about me, why haven't they taught you about my courage? I almost fell down the steps. Because when you think of Jesus Christ, is courage the first thing you think of? Has there ever been a more courageous man to ever walk the earth than Jesus Christ? And when you put your children into Sunday school or Christian school, is there ever and in the curriculum, an emphasis of the courageous nature of Christ, ever? No, he's a compromiser. He's a lover. He's a friend. All this stuff. Do you guys have any idea? Do you have any idea the courage it took? Do you know what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Lord, if there's some other way, if there's somebody else you can do this with other than me, can't you find another way to do this? I don't want to do this. And he went. And he stood before Pilate. And he looked at the guy who had the power of life and death in his hands. And Jesus looked him in the eye and he didn't grovel and he didn't apologize. He didn't beg for mercy. He said to Pilate, you have no power over me unless it had been given to you from on high. Do what you got to do, dude. I ain't bound to you. And if you read the book of Acts, the entire book of Acts is about courage. Why don't we teach it? Why has modern Christianity become so womanized and effeminized and sissified that our king modeled more than anything courage, and we don't even talk about it. And so I did this. Hey, Mike, go to where it says example of courage in the Bible. Not YouTube. It's a YouTube search. I was doing a YouTube search this morning. And I thought of all the great movies and everything that were ever made. So Mike, just copy that link. Just copy that link and put it up in there. I did a search on courage in the Bible. Just scroll down through there. I had a picture of Charles Stanley talking about it and the seven steps of courage, encouraging the horrible times, and Francis Chan bravery, and JR's Bible lessons. What does the Bible say about courage? And cartoons and encouraging scriptures and focus on God, not your problems. And no examples of courage. Not one freaking example of courage on YouTube. Is it any wonder why our children are sissified? We take them into Sunday school. We tell them Bible stories, legends. We don't paint a picture. I wrote four things down. It's 1 Samuel 17. Can you go there real quick, Mike? I'm sorry if this has been a monologue. It's well worth. Let me get it out. 1 Samuel 17. Do we really teach this to our kids? Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah and wherever the heck that is. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain the other side and taunted them. And there was a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. He was sick, who was a really big dude. He had on a helmet of brass, and he's armed with a coat of mass, and weighed a coat of 5,000 shekels of brass, and great big shoulders and a big spear, and he stood out there, and he, hey, come on out of there. Hey, what are you going to do out there, you men in array? I'm not a Philistine. Choose your man. Send somebody out here. If I be able to fight with him to kill him, then we win, and your guy wins, and you win. Now, David was the son of Ephraim of whoever, Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went out among the old men in the days of Saul, and the eldest son was Jesse, followed Saul, and David was the youngest. 3 followed Elton, but David went and returned from Saul to his father's, taking care of his dad's sheep, and all this other stuff's going on. And then David rose up early in the morning, left his sheep, and he wanted to go to the battle, see what's going on for Israel. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion of the Philistines of Gath, champions of the ACLU, and People for the American Way, and the National Education Association. And he started trash talking to David, to the army. And David looked around and he said, what the heck, what's going on here? What? Like, what? And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? See how powerful they are? And David said, tell me something. What does a guy get that knocks this dude down? Anybody, does he get anything? Anybody do it? Huh? The people said, oh, yeah, yeah. This, you get a lot of good stuff if you go out there and knock him down. David said, wow, God, I think I'm going to do that. And so David said, I'm going to go get him. And what everybody else say to David? They all get mad at him. Oh, yeah, you're going to do that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're just full of pride, David. I know the naughtiness. I watched you when you grew up. And David said, okay, dudes, listen, man. Verse 29, Mike. And there it is. There's the gospel. There's the gospel. Is it 29? No, yeah. And David said, hey, what have I done, man? Isn't there not a cause? Randy, isn't there a cause? Huh? Send somebody go chop that dude down. Isn't there a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and he spake after the same manner. He looked around. Come on, what do you come on, you big sissies? Wearing all this equipment? And David 34 said unto Saul, I've been out here a long time, boys. He said, you guys haven't noticed me, but I've been taking care of my dad's sheep. And one time a lion came along and a bear came. And I went and I grabbed that lion by the beard. I sucker punched him. Another time a bear came and I whacked him. He said, I'm going to tell you this. The same God delivered me from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion. He's going to drop that dude too. You watch what's going on here, David said. Saul and his army. He tried to give David his armor. He wouldn't put it on. Saying, I don't need that crap. So David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 small stones and went out there. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked at David. He was that mad. He said, why'd you send this punk out here? Why'd you send him out here? And the Philistine said unto David, my dog, you come to me with little spears? And the Philistine said, and David starts trash talking him. Then David said to the Philistine, verse 45, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. Well, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now watch this. Goliath didn't defy God. He defied the armies of God. Do you get the picture? And David said, you're in for it there, dude. Because this day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. And I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head off. and will give the carcass of your to the host of the Philistines this day, and the fowls of the air are going to eat you, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know what? What might all the earth know? There is a God in Israel. And because all this assembly, everybody standing around here watching, they're going to know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he's going to give you into our hands. We know the rest of the story, don't we? But I bet you didn't know this. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine after he shot him down. He took his sword and he drew it out and he cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw this, that their champion was dead, when the ACLU saw that their head had been cut off, they ran and hid. When the National Education Association found out that they weren't allowed to teach homosex to your children anymore, they curled up in a ball and they left. And the children of Israel turned from chasing after the Philistines, and they went and they took all the stuff. They went and took back all the stuff that the Philistines had stolen. They went in and they spoiled it. They got their children and their stuff back. And Saul said unto him, whose son are you, young man? David said, I'm the son of the servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Oh, I forgot to show you this. Wow, back up a second a little bit. Right there, 57. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of Goliath in his hand. David strutted downtown carrying the head of Goliath like you would a deer you had just killed. Now, sadly, when we teach that story to our children, we don't teach it that way, do we? We sing songs about it, right? We don't talk about the courage of David. We don't talk about the courage of those in Hebrews, Faith Hall of Fame, and Hebrews 11. Okay, I'm going to shut up. I got a bunch more, man. I got a bunch more stuff. It's a book of Acts. It's not the book of sits. It's not the books of praise. It's a book of Acts. 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 The gospel is Acts. The gospel is independent actions by independent creatures. It's a book of Acts. It's the historic account of brave men doing what God called them to do. We missed the whole point. We miss the whole point of the book of Acts because we're talking about the love of Jesus and the kindness of Jesus and the sweetness of Jesus. And the, are you with? That's a pretty good 38 minutes right there, boys. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
David was considered a hackathon, which means worthless one.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him go to the battle, right? They sent him, you go take care of the sheep. You're no good in the battle. You go back there and hide. You're not
Coach,
you're,
yeah, Coach, you're not, having worked in public schools for 10 years, I saw that's taught. They demean the boys, and I worked up to third grade, and that's where it's happening day in and day out. And we've gotten to be where we're so much of a sue society. You let that happen to my child, I'm going to sue you and all that stuff. Basically the schools, their hands are tied. And if a child, especially a boy, has behavioral issues.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second, Naomi. Why are their hands tied?
Because,
why are their hands tied, Naomi?
Because the parents are so willing to sue and the parents aren't willing to take responsibility for their own child. The parents, it's a babysitting service, basically, is what it is, a free babysitting service.
Who made it that way?
We have.
That's right. We can blame all we want to, right? They're taking your money. They turned your schools into a babysitting service. And your pastor stands in the pulpit and talks about how good the football team is.
Right. Right. And, you know, we're in the classroom day in and day out with all these kids that have got fevers and sniffles and stuff like that because the parents don't want to take the time to stay home with them, or they'll lose money if deeper, they stay home to help.
It's deeper than that, Naomi. It's deeper than that. The government, right. has made it so you can't earn enough money. The wife has to work.
Exactly. Exactly. Except for those of us who choose to homeschool, you know, we see the other side of it. So,
hey, Jared, I just sent you a link. Pull that thing up there. Somebody else, come on. Naomi, I don't mean to yell at you. Listen to me. We got to quit blaming other people.
Amen, I'm not blaming anybody. That's just what I see in the schools. Yeah.
I'd rub your back if I could, Naomi. I'm not criticizing you, okay? I'm not criticizing you. Look in the mirror. It's our fault. We won't speak up. We won't speak up in our churches. We won't speak up in our schools. We won't speak up in our government. We won't speak up in our small groups. We won't speak up.
Amen. Amen.
Coach, if I may, the courage is a developed trait when we stand in the midst of adversity. When you started the show, it was about, you know, moral courage. Brother, faith and the word faith and belief, and I've said it many a times, is pistis and pistos. They both mean the same thing, and is moral conviction in a holy God. That's where it begins. I have no problem with going to church on a Sunday because I'm not a pastor. Listen, brother, I'm a black robe, stand in the midst of it, had guns put in my face, face jail time. I have no problem with Sunday schools when they go, yeah, let me tell you about the pastor this week. So, brother, let me tell you what, when we're ready to stand up against government, stand up against taxes, when we're ready to stand up against public schools and stand up against the babysitting system, when we're ready to stand up against abortion, when we're ready to stand up against homosexuality, this is where we develop courage. David didn't develop courage the day he went on the battlefield with Goliath. David's courage was developed when he stood up, took down a bear, when David stood up and took down a lion. That's where courage is developed.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed. I used to be, Coach, but I am not ashamed I don't care what people think. They can shut me down all they want, but I will not speak the truth. Because I have to live my convictions, Coach, now. And I'm dying to live, Coach. I love Rick Simpson's. I am dying to live. And when we get to that point where it doesn't matter about me, it's about the gospel of Christ. It's about the truth. Then we will not be ashamed, and we will have the courage to stand.
Amen. Coach, and Mike, real quick, hang on a second, real quick. Mike, that board of state canvassers, pull that up there. Hey, Mike, I want you to do this real quick. Folks, this is a 2-3 hour Zoom, 9 hour Zoom meeting of the Board of Canvassers in Michigan. Mike, go ahead and play that. Go ahead and start it. And folks, I want you to watch these people. Mike, just go down there and just start dragging it at any point and play it. When you see a person, play it. Okay, go.
I first started talking to Ms. Winfrey.
Sissy man, about, keep going. Go on. Go to the next one. Sissy one man. Keep going.
At the Central Counting Board on November 2nd, 3rd.
Sissy, Democratic man. Go on. Go to the next one. Here come the butch women.
I found nothing.
Another sissy man. There's another sissy man. Keep going on. Keep going on. When somebody goes stand up and say they freaking cheated.
What you
another
will find,
woman. Keep going. Keep going. This is the board of canvassers. Another woman. Another woman. Go on. Go on. Go on. Another woman. Come on. There's another woman. There's another one.
Our voices have been negated in the past. Most.
What? You guys get my point.
Think about what I saw in Detroit that day, but with my limited time.
Oh, man. See, why? Because real men won't deal with trivial stuff. They won't deal with it. I don't want to sit in there and listen to these women run their chops. I don't want to do it. I want to flip over tables. If you want to flip over tables, you can't be on this committee because we got to get along with our friend across the aisle. Anybody getting what I'm saying here? Now, somebody was trying to come in and I shut you up. Who was it?
That was me, Coach. And I see this from that paradigm. You have developed courage in this group because you have taken these men up to face adversity, whether it's at Hillary Clinton's, Barack Obama's, Joe Biden's. Brother, this is about to roll big, and you have developed men that they have been tested in the face of bears and lions, that they're ready to enter their battlefield, right, against their giants. That's, and we don't even, Coach, you don't even realize this is what you've developed in these men, that until they have faced some sort of adversity, they'll never stand up when the giants come. Do you hear, you know what we talked about at Thanksgiving yesterday, brother? Self-defense, guns, and what is our plan when things go haywire? This is my Thanksgiving dinner. That's what I call developing men in my home.
Are we teaching that to our children? Are we teaching that purposely, teaching that to our children? Or are we teaching our children not to offend, go along to get along, comply, wear a mask, don't judge? What? See, you talk about Leviathan. You talk about the devil having snuck in. It totally and completely emasculated men. And oh, my goodness.
There's another problem, too, because a lot of these women will not let their men be men. They will not let them lead.
No, you're wrong. The men won't lead.
I've seen it happen.
The men won't lead. And if you're married to a woman that won't let you lead, shame on you.
Right.
At some point, stand up and tighten your belt and be a man. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Now, hang on with me. I know a lot of you want to get in there. We ought to do a week on this one right here. Okay, somebody tell me who's the bravest man you know. I'm ready to hear. I hear, no. Two things, right? Bravest man you know and the bravest thing you ever witnessed. You personally, not some TV movie clip. I'm ready. I want to hear it.
Of most recent, what I'm saying?
Not you, because you hang around brave men, Dale.
Listen. I think Donald Trump is the most bravest man right now in America.
Amen.
Oh, no. He's rough, and he talks about vaginas and takes care of. You see what the hell they've done to us?
I've not heard him talk about vaginas, Coach, in his 4 years of presidency, but I've seen him stand up. If it could be legal, I think he would throat punch Jim Acosta from CNN.
Okay, cool. Somebody else. Come on. Bravest
my
person.
My father, Coach.
Why?
Because when he shook a hand, it was done. His word was his bond. And if you lied to him, I don't care who he was, you had to run because he was going to whip your butt. And that's just he lived his principles, and he stood for them.
Somebody else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
My dad's my hero. He went against the upper echelons of the mining industry, and he stopped a gold heist and saved 27 men in the process of doing it. He's my hero. He was brave.
Amen. Somebody else.
Alan Zeifer. See him out there standing regardless of whether anyone stands with him. He's the only guy I know that will face all the pastors, all the crap that people try to say, stand down, we got to get along. He'll still stand no matter what.
I think he's a wussy. Somebody else. Just kidding, Alan.
I think Jeffrey's the same way.
So what, Silver? Jeff Nell,
because of what he does and the way he brings the word of the Lord to the people. I mean, he does it alone. And he sometimes gets confrontation in it.
All right.
But he still stands.
Naomi? You're silent.
There we go. This isn't a man and it's not current, but I tell you what, Harriet Tubman.
Oh, yes.
Wow. She had courage.
Okay, stop a minute. Stop. I agree with you. I want to know somebody you know right now who has courage.
Let me in.
Come on in.
Hey, Coach, 22 years ago, you sat at a table and I was close to you, and this ACLU lawyer went head to head with you for 2 days. You had a briefcase. You had everything. If it was a football game, you would have beat him 80 to nothing. That is some of the greatest courage face to face I witnessed in my lifetime.
Thanks, Norm.
Amen.
Somebody else.
Hey, Coach, it's Rick.
Rick.
I think we've all witnessed this. If you remember here just recently, we went to D.C., went to Virginia, went to A.G. Barr's house. I think A.G. Barr is a hero. He faced a swarm of protesters, looked us in the eye, shook our hands. That took a lot of courage.
That took some courage. That took some courage. Come on. Come on. I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
How about the men in the huddle? They're brave. And they move forward, and you coach.
They're learning to. They're learning to. See, first of all, Myra, they had to learn it's okay. It's okay to be brave. It's okay to speak. It's okay to fight. It's okay to stand up. We have to reprogram them. We have to deprogram them, program them, and then reprogram them. Why? Because we will not win if men don't get their courage back. Go, Tim.
You're right. I did not have a father I don't have a hero. I'm learning to crawl right now, and I'm actually questioning. I'm actually bringing things to light to other people. I ask people those individual questions. I'm crawling, and eventually will stand. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, Polly. Hey, Polly. Tell me what you did in the dollar store the other day. Are you in here, Polly?
Yes, I'm in here, but I can't talk. I'm crying. Yeah.
Oh, stop crying and start talking. What'd you do yesterday, the other day at the dollar store? Was it the dollar store?
I'm really proud of you guys. Thank you for being courageous. I went in there to buy Christmas cards for my sons. And I was halfway around the store, and I felt like people were going to snitch on me because they were looking at me because I didn't have a mask on. And the manager came up, of course, and he handed me a mask and said, ma'am, I need to give you this mask. And I started small, and then I grew bigger and bigger until I was screaming at the whole store, the masks do not work. Why are you buying the lie? You people are going to get it just like the rest of us. The communists are coming. And I looked like a complete mad woman. But
way to go.
Yeah. I don't go to Dollar Tree unless you're ready to confront somebody because they've got big signs on the door and they'll make you wear the mask.
Well, Polly, you need to go find a pastor.
Great job, Polly.
You need to repent of getting into the flesh, Polly. You were in the flesh, and you let your flesh get the better of you, Polly. And you weren't acting like it. That'd be the sermon you'd get, wouldn't it, folks? Isn't that the sermon you'd get? Huh? See, if you ask me, here's a question I'd ask. Hey, Polly. Did you knock over any displays on the way out? Huh? Did you flip over any tables on the way out?
I just dropped my basket on the floor and let them put my items back for me.
Oh, man. This is a golden show, isn't it? This is a golden show. Yeah.
You know what's so great about the book of Acts? It's still being written.
It is. It is.
Amen.
You know what, Alan? It's probably being written in other countries more than we could ever understand. We won't speak up because we're afraid somebody in Kroger's might challenge us that we don't have a mask on, right? Huh? Remember, men don't like trivial arguments. Real men want to cut to the chase, huh? My body, my choice. Hey, get out of my face, lady. That's what real men do. Ahead,
I'm trying to get ready to go to Mount Airy, and y'all get me fired up, and I'm having to run around the house two times and come back in and get ready, and then you start again.
Bring that Cajun turkey, Clay. Bring the Cajun turkey.
Good show.
Well, because why? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Only a return to real Christian masculinity is going to save us. And the Christian masculinity, see, there's such a thing as chivalry. Chivalry is manners. I understand manners. But hey, friends, I want to be like Jesus, right? Can anybody say that what Jesus did in the temple was wrong? He made a whip. Not only did he make a whip, he went over and sat down and purposely made the whip in front of them. He went over and he counted to 10. Did your mom ever tell you that? Count to 10 when you get angry. So Jesus went over and he counted to 10. And as he's counting to 10, he fashioned a whip. And he went out of there and he cleaned the place out. And then what happened when he got done? Oh, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, well, you're not going to win people to Jesus acting like that. That's not the way that you win them. It's friendship evangelism. Boys and girls, we're at war. We're at war. And the church hasn't figured it out yet.
Hey, Coach, I went to Safeway.
Amen, Coach.
I went to Safeway to get a bag of potatoes. And I walked around the store without wearing a mask. No one person challenged me. And I saw one other person not wearing one. I was in line at the cashier. And the Safeway manager came over and just stared at me with the dirtiest look. But he had not approached me at all.
Yep, that's a peer pressure, see? That's what they've created. You see? Do we see what's going on? We see? Okay, listen. Hey, Mike, pull up Bevelin. Because I'm going to tell you something. This shames me. This brings shame to me. All right? I'm not lying. This woman shames me. I ought to be right there with her. I ought to be right there with her. And instead, people are looking at her and saying, well, she's not Christian. She's not showing the fruits of the Spirit. She's not showing the love of Jesus. She should be out there witnessing to him and handing out tracts. She shames me. Go ahead and play it, Mike. Play it, Mike.
Jesus.
Move it up. Mike, move it to about the five-minute mark. Move it to about the five-minute mark. There'd be a good place. Start right there.
Get your keys.
They're not mine.
They don't care about black people. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Bill O'Brien doesn't care about black people. I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up. They don't care about black people. They can kill
them. This demon.
They can kill them.
Black Lives Matter is a demon. It's the devil. It's destroying this nation.
They don't care. They don't care.
They don't care.
Okay, keep playing it now. Hey, listen, keep playing it and watch the people standing and doing nothing but filming it. Go ahead.
Liars! 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 In the name of Jesus! Jesus matters! Black lives don't matter until Jesus matters! Jesus matters! Jesus matters! Jesus matters! Stand up! Take your country back!
Amen.
Take your country back!
Amen.
We're dying left and right! They're gonna kill us. Take your country back. Take your country back. Take your country back. Take the USA back. Take it back. Take it back. Take your country back. Trump 2020. We don't care. They don't care about black people. They want us to die and kill ourselves. That's what they want. That's what they want. In the name of Jesus. That's what they want. That's what they want.
They don't care about black people.
Okay,
they don't care about
black people. They don't care. They say black lives matter.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, they're going to defund the police, the same people.
She wouldn't be welcome in most churches. And about 3 weeks ago, she got stabbed. You guys know that? She got stabbed out in the streets. She got stabbed, punctured her lung. She got stabbed. Out ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the bravest person I know right now in America. Right there is the bravest person I know. And we stand around and we gawk and we look at her like she's some kind of freak. Why? Because we don't have any courage. We don't have any courage. We're worried about our reputation. We're worried about going to jail. Fear is the way they control us, friends. They control us through fear. And don't ever forget this. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the conquering of fear. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. Being afraid is normal. There's something wrong with staying afraid. That's where most of us are camping, man. Have a great weekend. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. God bless you. See you on Monday.